everyone. I'd like to tell you a story about cassava, how nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium affects its growth and yield, and how these elements interact. Now, these photos that you see here just represent how we started doing this work. And I'll start by giving an introduction about cassava. Cassava is generally a drought-tolerant crop that feeds around 500 million people in the sub-Saharan Africa and Southern America. It's a native crop from Southern America, and in most cases it is considered a drought-tolerant crop and can grow in infertile soils. Now, in recent research, it has been found that as much as cassava can grow in infertile soils, when you add fertilizers, you increase yields of this crop. And when you also add water to this crop, you also increase yield. Now, bearing these two information in mind, addition of fertilizers and irrigation, then we went further to ask if we were to take fertilizers and put it in irrigation water and apply to cassava as fertigation, what would happen? And that brought us with the question, the objective of the response. What would be the response of cassava to fertigation, especially when you are using the macro elements, the nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium? With this kind of question, then we went ahead to lay down an experiment, three experiments that were to assess the effects of the macro elements on cassava. And these micro elements, we applied them through irrigation and seven different rates for each element. So nitrogen had seven rates, potassium had seven rates, and phosphorus had seven rates. Whenever we were testing each of the rate, we were applying holding all the other nutrients constant. For example, we had calcium at 30 milligrams per liter, magnesium at 30 milligrams per liter, and then we had all the micro elements applied to the same concentration. The only thing that we were varying were the concentrations that we were testing. So to start the experiment, we took 60 centimeters cuttings of cassava. We grew them in a 2 liters container. And the white element there, substrate there, is a perlite. Perlite is an inert material that doesn't react with any of the nutrients. So after 28 days, we transferred this to a 60 liters container because from the literature, cassava roots are restricted. If you grow them in a small container, they are restricted. Now, after 7 months, the photos down there show how our plants look like. And at this age is when we harvested our cassava. Now, cassava generally grows for 12 months, 16 months, 24 months. In most cases, it is harvested after 12 months. Now, one of the ideas also of this experiment was to see, if we are going to fertigate cassava, can we try to shorten the period of harvesting cassava and see what happens to the yield? Now, with this experiment, I'll only talk about two of the nutrients, nitrogen and potassium. Now, we took the diagnostic leaves. We had diagnostic leaves. We took diagnostic leaves 5 times, and the diagnostic leaves, we took leaf number 4, 5, and 6 from every plant. Then we analyzed to find the nitrogen content, the phosphorus content, and the potassium content within the leaf. Now, in this graph, As we increased the concentration of nitrogen, then we also increased the concentration of nitrogen in the leaf. The second graph shows the concentration the concentration of potassium in the leaf as it varies with the solution concentration. Now, we see that from 40 ppm of potassium, you already have no significant difference. But when you come to nitrogen from 100 ppm, you have no significant difference. Therefore, from these two graphs, we could tell if the amount of solution of concentration of either nitrogen or potassium that we are applying is being uptaken by the plant. So the next thing that we did, we looked at the shoot biomass, and this is the results for the shoot biomass after 7 months. Now, increase of concentration of nitrogen in the shoot in the solution created a linear increase in the shoot biomass. The more you increase the concentration of nitrogen, you increase the shoot biomass. Now, the most interesting part with this came on the root. When you increase nitrogen, the biomass increased. But now when it came to root, when you go above 150 ppm, 150 milligrams per liter of nitrogen, then your root weight starts to decrease. And it looks drastic like that. Now, we were wondering what happens to this. So we looked at the same results, the results for potassium. Looking at the results for potassium, you find that the effect of potassium on the shoot biomass is not more significant, because from 20 ppm of potassium up to 150 ppm, you don't have significant difference. But then you look at the effect of potassium on the root, and you find the kind of, more or less the kind of trend that we saw for the shoot, for the effect of nitrogen on the shoot. Now, looking at these two nutrients, then we came to a conclusion that possibly potassium is the most limiting nutrient for the root development of cassava. And now we went ahead to look at, in the experiment, the nitrogen experiment, what was happening to the potassium that we had applied, because in that experiment, potassium was uniform across all the treatments at 100 milligrams per liter. Now we looked at it and saw that as we increased the nitrogen concentration in the solution, so the depletion of potassium also decreased. It was optimal at 70 ppm of nitrogen, and after that you start having a decrease in potassium uptake. Now, that being the case, and potassium is important for the root development, it could have been the reason why we had low root weight at high nitrogen concentration. Now, we took this, the results of shoot biomass and root weight, and we tried to look at the shoot-root ratio. So it came out that when you increase the concentration of potassium, you start decreasing the shoot weight as you increase the root. So these two graphs could possibly explain what would have happened when the nitrogen content was high, the nitrogen concentration was high in the solution and the potassium was held constant at 100 ppm. Now, another explanation for the decrease in the root weight at 200 ppm of nitrogen could have been because of phosphorus. Looking at the depletion, when you increase the solution concentration of nitrogen, the depletion of phosphorus in the solution increases, and phosphorus was applied at a constant rate of 10 milligrams per liter. The phosphorus increased, and phosphorus, high phosphorus content encourages it reduces the number of lateral roots, and these are the roots that are supposed to develop, bulk and develop into the roots of cassava. Now, with this, we came to conclusion that when you need high root yield, you need to apply 150 ppm milligrams of nitrogen. Above 150 milligrams of nitrogen, then you start reducing the root weight of cassava. We also noted that above that, the only thing that you can get is vegetative growth. You won't have, and if you need root weight, you need to maintain 150. Then, just a thought, we thought maybe, because I've not presented here what would have happened in what the solution uptake of nitrogen, but we found that the nitrogen depletion rate was going down after 200 ppm, so it would have meant that cassava maybe have a selective mechanism after when there is high application of nitrogen, it selects. Now, after 70 ppm of nitrogen, milligrams of nitrogen, the depletion rate of K and P reduces. And then we found that K is the most limiting nutrient for tuber root yield. I would like to acknowledge International Institute of Tropical Agriculture, International Potash Institute, Agricultural Research Organization, Gilat Research Center, and my university, Ben Gurion University of the Negev. I'd welcome any questions. Yes. So this experiment is put on perlite. So from this we went into the field. Now the results that I'm presenting here are only for perlite, and perlite is an inert material, so we didn't need to do any analysis on the perlite. As of now, no, because from the literature, cassava is recorded as a crop that mines a lot of nutrients from the soil. So the only way to encourage, increase the yield of this crop is to fertilize the crop. So there is no way to ask the farmers to add nitrogen unless they do the application of the nitrogen itself.
That concludes the speaker's time. Let's give John a hand. I would like to thank all the speakers in this first segment this morning for staying on time. And we have a 15-minute break scheduled, and we will start promptly again at 11 o'clock.